Hello, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast of the American Spaniel Club Archival Committee, where we explore our past and record it for the future through interviews like this. My name is Charlie Bourne, and I'm your host, and our guest today is Billy Garodner. Welcome, Billy.
Hello.
Hey, Billy, can you talk a little louder? You're a little soft.
Hello.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you. Okay, just for those of you that may not know Billy, I suggest for more background, you read his Hall of Fame post on the ASC website. But briefly, Billy, along with his late partner Lloyd Alton, Brett Cockers, for decades under the Gings prefix, and he's a life member of ASC for over 50 years, a Hall of Fame member along with Lloyd for contributions to the ASC, breeder along with Lloyd of many good champions, too many to note. A noted author with Lloyd and a great sense of history about our breed and a great friend to many, including myself. Billy, let's dive in and have you share some stories with us, okay?
Okay.
Billy, I'd like to do a sound check. You're a little faint again.
Oh, okay. Are we loud enough now? Normally I'm too loud.
No, this is good. So obviously, for whatever reason, we need you to be too loud. Okay, Billy, I think a good place to start is from the beginning. When did you become interested in Cocker Spaniels?
When I was about 9 and a half years old. My pet Cocker had died. My father, we lived in New York, saw in the New York Times that the American Spaniel Club show was being held in the Hotel Roosevelt then in New York City. They took me and they lost the kid, and I did find a puppy.
Wow, from the old Roosevelt show. Did you live near New York City then?
Yeah, I grew up in Queens, which is one of the outer boroughs of New York.
And was it a black cocker?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay. So who nurtured and guided that interest, you know, from a 9 and a half year old kid to somebody today that has a long history within the breed? Can you talk a little bit about your mentors and friends and family and name some and, you know, the background on them for us?
Yeah, well, my parents, of course, backed the whole thing. I think there were times where they were alarmed about where this would end up going, but they were very supportive. The first people who really were supportive to me was your mentor, Marguerite Manhart, and her handler and friend, Bain Cobb. My first junior showmanship dog was by their champion, Sugarbrook Counterpoint, and my father agreed that he'd pay to finish the dog. I think he knew that he wasn't good enough, but he agreed. We went to Bain's kennel, and Bain went over him like he was Counterpoint's best champion son, and showed me his horses and said that you need to learn on this dog. He had trotters. He showed us some wonderful horses, but then took us to a little paddock that his two old ones were. He said, I learned on these, and this is what you have to do on this dog, and that's what I did, and I guess the rest is either history or infamy. I don't know which.
Billy, can you make sure you're talking close to the phone because you fade out a little bit?
Yeah.
That's okay. Keep
that
phone
better?
Wherever that is. Yeah, wherever that is right now, that's where you need to keep it.
Well, okay.
That's interesting. I know that my aunt started you, and it's kind of a common story between us. Who were some of your other mentors that sort of pushed you along the way? Because that's a long, long time from 9 and a half to where you are now.
Right. Well, one of the first Cocker people I ever met, luckily for me, was Norman Austin. In fact, he bred Lloyd's and my foundation red and white dog, co-bred with Alice Kaplan champion Trojan Tagalong. And Norman had been supportive of us throughout his whole life. My other mentors were Dee Dee Wood, Bill Ernst, who I worked with. He was very young, but he was nonetheless a mentor. Ruth Benhoff and a breeder who had a kennel called Blue Bay, Violet Bruns. Mm-hmm. I got some of my early party colors from her.
Yeah, so Bill Ernst, for everybody, you didn't say. Bill Ernst's kennel name is B-Gay, and I think everybody knows his wife, Gay. And then,
right, she's still a friend. She's probably my longest living friend. We have been continuous friends since we were teenagers.
So the Tagalong dog was your first show cocker?
Well, no, I had others that were not quite as influential or successful as he.
Okay.
But he was really the foundation of the party colors that Lloyd and I really contributed with.
Oh, really? He was a very pretty dog. I remember him like it was yesterday. Isn't that?
It wasn't yesterday.
Yeah, I know. So, looking back after this long career, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started out?
Well, that's a rough question. There are a lot of things. The thing that I truly wish is something that we're all going to have to face now. I wish I were less interested in the amount of coat on the dog and more in the balance and structure and everything else that a Cocker Spaniel is. Mm. I think I was too coat crazy for my own good.
Yeah, well, I don't know that that's your necessarily something that you share alone. I think we all did that, right? So, and I know my first cocker was very little coat on it. It was an Ascot cocker that Marguerite had bred back in the 40s. And he didn't have any. He was a hunting dog, basically. And but your Tagalong dog, I think, had a great coat. Well, all of your dogs had great coats. So.
Yeah, well, because it was something that we worked for. Some of my first ones looked, like Ida Herspel, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, party colors, and I think, Billy, you would validate this, as I remember, party colors back in the 60s and 70s didn't have near the coat that blacks did, and Ascots had a little bit less than black.
No, the way that they got it were from the dogs who were color crossed, because luckily dogs like Maddie's Vagabond Returned carried a party color gene and were very influential in changing the dogs. Our Tagalong dog went back to both Hot Rod and Return.
Oh, really? Interesting. Vagabonds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maddie's Vagabond Returned, for those of you that don't know, is an ASCOB. You can look him up. He's a pretty famous old-time dog from the 50s, I guess, right? 50s, I think.
Yeah, he was really, I think, the first very heavily coated one.
Yeah, he was heavily coated. I don't know if he was
for
the
his time. You wouldn't call him that now, but for then he was phenomenal.
No, I know. What we thought was a lot of coat then is not so much now. Hey, listen, you know, the world today for dog breeders and dog shows, with all the things that go on globally and here even, you know, within the United States, it's a lot different from a cultural and governmental standpoint than it was even like 20 years ago or, you know, even 10 years ago, probably. So do you think these challenges, have they existed when you started, and the things that breeders today face, would you have changed the way your dog interests, you know, developed, and what would you advise people who are trying to begin in cockers today? It's a long question, but hopefully it makes sense.
I think if I were advising, and I don't like advice, giving it or taking it, but the thing is, if I were going to advise someone starting now, is go to a lot of dog shows before you get a dog to show and read the standard and try to ascertain the type dog within the framework of the standard that you like. And when you see dogs that are close to it, get to know their breeders. New people should not be afraid to approach even the most famous breeder, because you'll find the most knowledgeable ones will be the most apt to help you.
In your opinion, Billy, do you think people are more approachable today than they were in our younger days, or do you think it's easier, harder? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's harder, because in the old days when I started, there were still many of the shows were benched, and they were there all day, and it was probably better talking to a teenager than sitting and staring into space till you could go home. Today, very often people leave the show after they've lost their class. That's one of the bad things about our whole dog world today, in my opinion.
I think that's very insightful, because you're right. As much as I disliked the long day at a bench show, it forced you then to talk with people. And you're right. I think many people today, they show up, they groom their dogs, they show them, and then they go home. They just pack up and leave. So there isn't that interaction. That's a good insight. I think that has changed over the years and makes it harder for people to, you know, sort of build that bond. Billy, of all the things that you've done in your, you know, dog career, and this is kind of like asking, but what's your most significant achievement, do you think? And tell me more about it. And if there's more than one, okay, give me two. But
there are really two. One, of course, was the book, The World of the Cocker Spaniel, that Lloyd and I worked on for over 2.5 years.
Right.
What's gratifying is that people still are getting them on Amazon for however they can, because it's been out of print. And I have to admit, when I have something to research, I often go back and look at it myself. So I'm grateful that we did it. There were times, of course, that we weren't. The other thing with our own dogs, the thing that meant the most to me is that, in my opinion, the greatest tricolor, and they're always my favorite. I don't tell our other dogs, I've had all the three varieties, but my favorite tricolor cocker other than Tan Man was champion Sanjo's Born to Win, Patrick. I think he is a fantastic dog, and I'd like to think that several generations of our dogs are in his pedigree, and I'd like to think that that beautiful front movement may have come from one of them. I hope so. It could have been some other dog, but it's a thrill to know your dogs are back of one that you think is the best ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, coming from a black kennel, you know, black breeder, Tan Man was the first tricolor I think I ever took notice of. I was just a kid, and I remember seeing him at a show and meeting Bill for the first time. And, of course, Patrick, we all know. But Tan Man really was one of the first, well, one of the first tricolors that I remember, anyway, in my lifetime.
He was the first tricolor to win Best in Show at Spaniel Club.
That's what I thought.
That was 1970.
Yeah, I remember that. I can remember Bill.
I do too.
Yeah, that was something. Hey, about the book, is there any plans to get it reprinted, or?
No, it would be way too expensive with that many pictures. Though I'm hoping not to write a cocker book per se, but if I can get it together, I'd like to do a book about some of the dog people that I've known, and it'll have some information since the 90s when we did the book, hopefully. I hope I can do it.
Good. Well, do it. As Nike says, just do it.
Right. Yeah. I'll try.
So here's a question, you know, it's like parents that have kids and all their kids are wonderful and they love them all equally. But as a breeder, I know myself and I've talked to lots of other breeders, of all of your Cockers, are there any individual dogs that are especially memorable for you? It's always interesting
to hear that.
That
we owned?
Yes.
Okay, well, of course, Tags, the original Tag Long, and also, I'd have to include his daughter, Trojan Buttons, that we got from Alice Kaplan, and also our half-faced dog, Champion Ging Zaladar, who is by my friend Jack Ward's, Champion Ward's Wintersat, out of Button's daughter, and they're back of an awful lot of good party colors that I'm very proud of, other than ours. And I think our Lloyd's and my main contribution to party colors came from those dogs.
You know, you had Ascobs, too.
Yes,
right?
I sure did. Of those, I was very grateful to Carl and Dina Cosé to let us have Champion Cosé's Bit of Gold. Bit started a family of buffs that was really nice, including Kathy Carey's dogs, a good portion of them, and there are still remnants of that family all around. They also brought Tom Dowell, who shows our dogs, Tony Skinner, and Lloyd and I closer together because we co-owned and bred our buffs together.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, all the people that you've met, are there any individual people in your career in dogs that are memorable or that you'd like to share with the audience? What they, you know, meant to you in your dog career?
There are so many, but the one probably most of all was our friend Dee Dee Wood of Brandy Kennels. She was a family member to Lloyd and me, even though we lived on different coasts and didn't see each other all the time. We were never out of one another's mind. And she was the one I think the year the Tan Man went best in show at Spaniel Club. She stayed with us and for days drew diagrams of the angles of shoulder, the upper arm, and she impressed that on us, and it became one of the more important things in what we've been able to put into our dogs. And that was all thanks to Dee Dee.
Yeah, for those that may be newer, Dee Dee Wood had Frandy Kennels out in Southern California. She was a very famous breeder. She also handled dogs for other people. Julie Verostek, who I'm sure many people know, that's her daughter, who, you know, Julie is married, and I for many years kept calling her Julie Wood. She got used to that. But, yeah, you were very lucky to have, you know, such a good mentor there.
Even imagine how lucky Lloyd and I were. We really loved her.
Yeah. So how did Lloyd get started in Cockers? Did he do that through you, or was he into Cockers before he met you?
He was into Cockers before. He was a footloose, fancy-free bachelor in New York City, but he had a friend whose family was very socially connected who had chows, and later his friend Hiller Innes had very good pet Cockers. In fact, I groomed some of the ones after I met him through Lloyd. They used to go to dog shows together in the 50s, like Westminster, Westchester, and he saw a lot of the dogs, and he loved Cocker Spaniels the most, and when we got together, that's how Gings happened.
And you had pugs. He liked pugs, I remember.
Yeah, we had pugs for years. Now I'm concentrating mostly on miniature wire-haired dachshunds and Japanese chim.
Yeah, as I shared with you, that's my next dog.
I have Lloyd's last pug, who is a gift from Polly Swanson, though. He's about 10 years old.
Polly didn't raise pugs, did she? Or was that just a gift, or was it one of hers?
No, she bought him for Lloyd for the last viable birthday that Lloyd had.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, oh my goodness, Polly Swanson had pugs?
No.
Yeah, okay. So that's great. Great story. So are there any shows, wins, or events that were really memorable for you that come to mind? And if so, can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, there were two. And it involved the father and son, our dog Ben, who Julie Borostik and Wilson and Bonnie showed him before he went to Julie. It was his retirement show. We had planned we were going to retire him, and there was a red and white dog that Tracy Carroll had. Betty Dudding was judging, and Lloyd and I were certain she would put up this red and white dog, and we were completely blown away when she gave Ben the variety that day, because we were retiring him regardless, and we planned to have a party for his retirement, not his variety win, and we had a blast. I still have an album with the pictures. And the other win was his son, Shady Hill Storm, and Carl Robinson. They went best in show at Spaniel Club from the veteran class, and that was beyond anything you'd dream about being connected to.
Those are great stories.
Did the same thing, by the way. So that's some family of tricolors.
Yeah, Ben's registered name, Billy, you want to share that with everybody? I don't think we told him.
I think I'm having a Tom O'Neill moment. It was Champion Tagalong Shady Hill Storm was Ben's son. Ben was American-Mexican Champion Tagalong's Macho Man.
That's it, yep.
He was by our dog, Aladar. And Patrick was champion San Jose's Born to Win.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you remembered Ben's name, because I just remembered Ben, and I didn't remember his registered name myself.
Half the time, I have to think of my own name. So.
That's great. Great stories. So, you know, you really had, Billy, a really long, lovely life, you know, with Cockers, and lots of friends, and people enjoy talking with you, and I think you have a lot of memories there. And we've talked a lot in this short time about some of those, but is there something that I haven't asked you, or something that you want to share with the listeners that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, what I'd like to share is that when there are issues that we face, whether it's in the standard of the breed or some other thing that we may not completely concur with other people, that we be diplomatic and friendly and realize that we all love Cocker Spaniels, and if you feel differently, it doesn't mean that you're an adversary. Because many times the people that I disagree with something about, we disagree about every other facet. And I think people just need to keep in mind that our main goal is a better and healthier and more viable Cocker Spaniel.
Well said, Billy, particularly since we started out the conversation talking about my Aunt Marguerite Manhart. I think we both shared the story about how she really was quite a lovely, genteel lady.
She was, you'd have to have known her, but she was so successful. She was, it was even right before you and she actually call on the dogs, but I'm sure you knew them. Her black cocker kennel was one of maybe the two or three top black kennels in the country in the year she bred.
Well, it was her
was the most self-effacing person I've ever known.
And I think we get hot-headed, and she was never very hot-headed, so I think we could all probably learn from that. You know, we get passionate. We get passionate about our thoughts, myself included. And I always think back of Marguerite just listening to somebody and go, yes, well, I suppose so.
She was awesome. She was totally awesome.
Well, Billy, it has been my pleasure to talk with you today, and we have to cut this short because we want to keep these podcasts within a reasonable time frame, but we could go on and on because I know you've got lots of stories to tell. But thank you very much for taking the time today to share that with all of us, and we look forward to seeing you at the shows in the coming months. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'm definitely going in January, so.
Good, okay. Well, we'll see you there.
This was awesome. Thanks, Charlie.
Well, thank you. If you would just hang on for a moment, I'm going to end this podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. This is one of a continuing series of podcasts that we're doing, and look forward to further communications on our next one, and thank you very much.